This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Well, good morning, America. This is Gun Owners News Hour. In the years running up to the 2020 election, I believed that the Democrat Party was doing all they could to keep their mob angry, but only to a certain point. You notice they didn't, like, range far and wide from the various blue city enclaves. When they would actually try that, when Antifa would actually go forth and go out into the hinterlands, they would get beaten down. But they wanted their base simmering, just short of a boil, and ready at a moment's notice to goose step off into action wherever they were needed. It was a delicate line they walked. They needed people mad without inspiring violence that could be blamed on them. They had to avoid creating another James Hodgkinson. Now their objective has changed slightly. The Democrats, if you've been noticing, there's other Democrats like Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema that, they're not being good Democrats. They're not being good socialists, good totalitarians. So now the Democrats appear to be doing all they can to provoke violence against their own. Anything, absolutely anything for the cause. And what do I mean by provoke? I really believe that the left-wing establishment would like nothing more than one of their own coming under some kind of violent attack by someone they can accuse of being a right-winger. I don't know how else to explain the continued attacks on anything and everything the right holds dear. Joe Biden ran on being president of all Americans and has since set about to divide by race, gender, and political ideology. I mean, he makes Barack Obama, on this, he makes Barack Obama look like a rank amateur. It is downright evil, in all honesty. And what the left is doing, all of the left, is the equivalent of getting in the faces of people and yelling, "Go ahead and hit me!" Anybody who's not fully a brown shirt leftist is denounced as the cause of all the problems in the world, which have generally and are generally being caused by leftist politicians. MSNBC convenes panels to discuss how Republicans tried to murder everyone in the government on January the 6th. How, you know, killed more people than 9/11 in the process and wanted nothing more than to destroy the country. That's so far out in left field, it's beyond the pale. It's nowhere close to reality. And the latter is a feature of the left, but they say it with a straight face and a sense of urgency because they're trying to provoke a response. And that response is, by necessity, some left-wing nutball going berserk because nobody else is watching them. And going after someone with impure thoughts. That's throwing matches at a pack of smokes in a room full of gas. And the Democrats don't seem to care who might get hurt. In their push to activate their base to inspire violence against them, they brought members of their own army of flying monkeys closer to that precipice with a member of their own party than they've succeeded with normal people. That being Arizona Senator Kyrsten Sinema, a Democrat who's been verbally harassed at least twice so far, once in a bathroom and the other on a plane. The feature of these both is that it's an enclosed area where there's not a whole lot of avenue of escape. Both times by illegal aliens demanding citizenship. Well, because they demand it. And I would personally prefer to launch these idiots into the Gulf of Mexico. You know, if you want to bring a little violence, don't be surprised if somebody brings a little more than you got. But that's just me. And this is also why I'm not a senator or elected to anything. And to her credit, Sinema hasn't responded in a rude way or any way at all. She's actually ignoring these rude piles of garbage invading her personal space. But here's the problem. Someone, probably very soon, is not going to ignore these people invading their personal space, accusing them of being monsters, or any number of other lies leftists are spewing seemingly to provoke at this particular point. Someone's going to take the government overreach, the infringement of rights, the accusations of treason, the indefinite imprisonment of people for trespassing, the weaponization of the FBI to help implement racist teaching in public schools, etc., to heart. And then they're not simply just going to roll their eyes. I hope that doesn't happen. Because, one, I know that what that's going to look like. I don't hope that it... I'm not hoping that it doesn't happen because I care about the leftists. But I do want to beat them. The American public is turning against them in ways not seen before. They're recognizing the progressive movement as the enemy of the country that they have always been. And anything that deviates from that would only serve to help the left. If your enemy wants to stand in front of you and commit ritual suicide, let them. Let's not distract them from their own failure. Modern progressives are in a different position than they were in Germany in 1933. Back then they needed an emergency big enough to justify a complete and total power grab, so the Nazis burned the Reichstag. And there's too much surveillance to get away with that today, but they still want the same end result, so they're poking the bear, any bear, as much as they can, hoping one of them's going to strike back. And any reaction will be betrayed as the latest example of a pattern, which will include January 6th, and can be used to justify the consolidation of power around them that will be used to negate elections. The more people see of Democrats, the less they want of them. Provoking an attack of any kind or size on them is the only way they'll ever get sympathy enough to impose their will on the country and stave off the coming electoral defeat. All of their templates are based upon Cloward and Piven. Take something to an extreme, let it crash, rise from the ashes. Although they do a gross miscalculation of how that would actually work, but that's beside the point. Progressives will do anything for power. If a few people might have to get hurt or worse for the cause, big deal. They've cleared off enough pedestals that statues can be erected to whomever they need, provided that there's any left empty after they put up the statues to their heroes first. The Mao, Stalin, Lenin, and Hitler statue manufacturing industry will be the only growth industry under their reign. The biggest problem they face is that gross miscalculation I talked about earlier. There's not enough of them. When you get out there and you make everybody a class or a group or a, you know, a this or a that, and you're just being divisive, they've divided the police. They've divided the military. All of their mechanisms in place that they would actually have to employ in order to, once they think they've consolidated it on the peaceful side, where they have to actually force compliance, they've alienated them too. And therein lies the problem. Who's going to kick in the doors? Who's going to confiscate the guns? Who's going to force the compliance? Who's going to make you get a shot? Who's going to, you know? Not that many people out there listening to the Democrats nowadays. So, since they've decided to burn themselves in protest, let's just watch them burn. We'll be right back. This is Gun Owners News Hour.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
For over 25 years, Arrow Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Arrow Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Arrow Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders. Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th, Arrow Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price. At Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard.
Anyone can fall victim to moving fraud. Know your rights and responsibilities.
There was never really a valid contract.
Movers must always give written estimates.
I was bound to an estimate, but it was after the fact.
Be sure that any document is complete before signing it, and that it includes information to determine the final charges.
It was a version that I had not seen before.
Visit protectyourmove.gov to download a free moving fraud prevention guide. Search for registered movers and view their complaint histories. Move with confidence.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Here we are back again. This is Gun Owners News Hour. As we sit today, nearly 14 million gun sale background checks have been conducted in 2021. As more Americans buy guns, buy firearms, it's natural to see participants from a more diverse racial and socioeconomic background coming into the fold. For the gun control interests, this is very unsettling. If you wonder why, they arrogantly assume it's sexist and racist to support gun rights. And they couldn't be more wrong. You can look around the various organizations. Recently, two USCCA ambassadors, Beth Alcazar and Chris Chang, were interviewed on why a strengthened firearms community can derail gun control policy going forward. They started something called the Reality Check Campaign, which was aiming to train 1.3 million Americans about safe and responsible firearms use by 2025. Not a overly ambitious goal, actually very easily attainable. Beth Alcazar, she says the face of firearms is kind of maybe different from what the stereotype is today. Luckily, in the gun industry, we've seen this changing over the last couple of decades. You've got advocates, or you've got business owners, entrepreneurs, the whole spectrum. Reality Check, I think, is just a way to kind of mimic that or mirror that and show that it's people, everyday people, all backgrounds, all walks of life. Chris Chang was invited to participate in the Reality Check campaign as a way to reach out to the LGBT and Asian shooters and potential gun owners and current gun owners. He said, I think the idea of the Reality Check campaign is to talk about change isn't scary, and it shouldn't be scary, especially when we're talking about all of the new gun owners that we've seen over the past year and a half. With all these new faces and new gun owners, our rights are being more protected with more gun owners than we can bring on into the fold. Now, Chang thinks 1.3 million is audacious, but attainable. I don't think it's that audacious between, you know, now and the next 3.5 years for that to happen. Because they're doing the work. They're doing the grassroots work. Grassroots is where it's all at. And the Reality Check campaign, which every gun rights organization should be doing something like this, I think, but not everyone have the same, and they don't all have the same mission. They're reaching out not just to new gun owners, but even existing gun owners who maybe they bought a firearm during the pandemic, but they haven't had a chance to go to the range. Now, Chris Chang is also an advisor to the Asian Pacific American Gun Owners Association. And the Violence Policy Center has been looking at his outreach efforts. And he said, I was a little shocked at this recent report that came out about 2 weeks ago by the Violence Policy Center, which was basically criticizing the National Shooting Sports Foundation and criticizing me and other advocates for talking about Asian outreach in the firearms community. What was shocking is, you know, they're criticizing the gun industry for reaching out to the Asian American population, but they're accusing me and others of leveraging fear, right? That the pandemic has brought and scaring Asian Americans into buying guns, which is the furthest thing from the truth. And quite frankly, it's insulting and borderline racist. No, what the Asian American population is doing is they're observing. They're observing, and unlike any other means for self-defense, whereas, like if you go to a martial arts class where they have a belt ranking system, being a gun owner is the equivalent of going in and buying the black belt to begin with, except now you have to go back behind yourself if you've never used one before and actually learn how to wear that black belt. You have to learn how to execute that technique because you've gotten to the level of lethality with a financial transaction. The Asian American community has been, you know, victimized here lately, assaulted in a lot of ways. It's not just the Asian American community they're reaching out to, women as well. Women accounted for almost 50% of the new gun owners last year. Beth Alcazar said, it's very interesting that so many folks seem to be against diversity. I know that as more and more women get involved with the firearms industry and with just taking ownership of their lives and responsibility for their own personal safety, I think that's where the media or the anti-gun people start getting really nervous, because it's so much easier to kind of be against a stereotype and against a group. Except with diversity in the American gun ownership, stereotype goes away, because the stereotype is old white guys. It's me. I'm the stereotype. But I think it is splendid that Americans of every stripe are gun owners. And I think it should be applauded. As the gun community continues to grow, as people continue to wake up and come to this understanding that there's a few things that have happened. And I'm going to point out in the next segment what the biggest thing that is happening here in the United States is. And then I'm going to give you a contrast. I think it necessary that the gun community does get bigger, because the protective infrastructure that we have enjoyed up to a certain point is diminished, depending on where you live. Where I live, law enforcement is still going strong. We don't have the 30% increase in murder here in South Carolina. And that there's a lot of reasons behind that, not just the fact that we support law enforcement. But a bigger group owning guns, women, LGBT, Black America, Asian America, Hispanic America, all American citizens. That's the thing. I don't like using, I'm using those classifications that have been put forward by the left so that you understand what the anti-gun community is facing now. Because it used to be just me, the stereotype. And now it is not. It is not just me, the stereotype. It is the entirety of America. That's their problem now. That's their problem now. That's why they couldn't seat Chipman. Because voices are being heard coming from all directions. We'll be right back. This is Gun Owners News Hour. At Chambers Custom, we have one job. We strive to build the most obsessively reliable, accurate, and beautiful pistols for the discriminating gun owner. Using the ageless 1911 design with a 21st century approach to each part and component, Chambers Custom meticulously begins each pistol as a standalone project, creating a bespoke, handcrafted, peerless firearm. They integrate all of the internal, external, and intrinsic elements that make a custom 1911 unique. Go to ChambersCustom.com. Chambers Custom, truly the mechanical advantage.
For over 25 years, Aero Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Aero Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Aero Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders.
Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th,
Aero Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
President Biden is responding to a disappointing September jobs report. The Labor Department said fewer than 200,000 jobs were created last month. Analysts predicted the number would be twice as large. President Biden explained the reason.
Today's report is based on a survey that was taken during the week of September the 13th.
He said cases of COVID-19 have been decreasing. And he said Americans have been hearing the news from Washington as just noise.
Every disagreement is a crisis. But when you take a step back and look at what's happening, we're actually making real progress.
China is calling on the U.S. to withdraw troops from Taiwan in response to reports that a small presence of American troops have been training forces there for at least a year. U.S. officials confirmed that a small contingent of Marines are there. This is USA Radio News. The Department of Justice has declined to charge a white Wisconsin police officer in the shooting of a black man last year that left him paralyzed from the waist down. Kenosha police officer Rustin Chesky shot Jacob Blake during a domestic disturbance last August. The incident sparked several protests, including one where an Illinois man shot three people and two of them died. No state charges were filed because prosecutors say Blake had a knife. The Justice Department conducted a civil rights investigation and determined there wasn't enough evidence to show the officer used excessive force or violated Blake's federal rights. A jury in Boston has convicted two fathers in the college admissions cheating scandal. Police say John Wilson and Kamal Abdul Aziz used fraud and bribery to get their kids into the University of Southern California with bogus athletic scholarships. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, simulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Welcome back. This is Gun Owners News Hour. See, the problem for anti-gunners, the reason the gun-owning community is getting bigger, is because law and order has been for sale. And the biggest buyer of law and order has been George Soros. In Chicago right now, Cooks County State Attorney Kim Fox has decided that whatever happens between consenting adults is a completely private matter. Now, if I were talking about, you know, marital relations behind closed doors, that's one thing. But right now, what she's doing is challenging the limits of libertarian ideology. Recently, 5 gangsters were arrested for holding a public gunfight in Chicago's Austin neighborhood last week. They shot more than 70 rounds at each other, and she decided to let them go without charges. Her office explained to the police it was a quarrel between mutual combatants. Now, mind you, the police were there filming this 70-round-plus exchange of gunfire. Even Chicago's leftist mayor, Lori Lightfoot, is a little bit uncomfortable with this decision. She said, "I believe that there are charges that can be brought at a minimum against the individuals who initiated the gunfire. We can't live in a world where there's no accountability." But she's wrong. Some people not only can live in that world, but they want to. This is the new brand of progressive prosecutor, the kind of leftist who will scream, shout, and pump the fist for gun control laws, only to let known violent criminals violate those exact laws with total impunity. It would be funny if it wasn't so dangerous for the citizens living in these areas. So, thanks in some large part to Fox, Chicago has no safe neighborhoods left. Ken Griffin, who is Chicago's wealthiest resident, has said that Chicago's like Afghanistan on a good day, and this is a problem. He's talking about picking up his multi-billion dollar hedge fund and leaving for some place where financial managers are actually willing to live. And he also took it personally when someone tried to carjack the security detail outside his home because it's become that bad. And it's really quite simple to explain what's happened here. Wealthy leftist donors like Soros have decided they find it amusing to endanger Chicagoans and the inhabitants of other major cities by funding the campaigns of incompetent, dishonest, soft-on-crime district attorneys like Fox, or Philadelphia's Larry Krasner, or Baltimore's Marilyn Mosby, and others. And based on the spike in violent crime over which these Soros DAs have presided, it's pretty safe to say that this project is making America's cities uninhabitable again. The so-called Soros prosecutors are also dropping charges and releasing violent, hardened career criminals into San Francisco, L.A., St. Louis, and other increasingly undesirable cities. And the result has been a national crime wave disproportionately concentrated in these cities. This is a major reason why there were so many additional black lives that ended violently in 2020, as the FBI's latest data indicate. And this is where soft-on-crime leftists are taking the country. There is a formula to reduce crime, and it's very well known. In the 1990s, a lawless New York City was brought under control through proactive policing and strict enforcement. Crime plummeted because criminals knew they would be caught and caged. And many of those who would have been out committing violent crimes were too busy serving their prison sentences to reoffend. Today we got the opposite going on. Today the so-called progressive prosecutors are giving criminals free rein in their cities. Voters living under their misrule need to take their heads out of the sand. This is where critical thinking would be so incredibly groovy, if I may use that term, because so many people only pay attention to what they see. Advertising. Political campaigns. They look at it, they say, he says he's going to be tough on crime. Uh-huh. Well, I'm going to vote for him. He's convinced me. Well, what about his record? You're voting for Chase Boudin. Yeah, but he says he's going to be tough on crime, but look what he's done. Well, listen, I'm too busy for that. People that are with their head in the sand like this, their communities and their investments therein are currently at risk and rapidly losing value thanks to the attitude and action of the leftist Democrats. They stubbornly and stupidly keep electing to coddle the criminals. Their cities are becoming unsafe and unpleasant, and people are increasingly looking for greener pastures. So if Chicagoans want to keep sending their populations west and driving up property values in cities like Mesa and Provo and Boise, then they're doing exactly what they need to do. Although I would say to you that if you're going to move into one of these areas where you have low crime, where you have high gun ownership, don't change that. Don't seek to impose the stupidity that you have lived with all of your lives, that you have supported with your vote. Embrace freedom and forget the rest. Now, on the other hand, if they don't want to move, if they want their city to thrive, or even to survive, maybe they need to start electing prosecutors who actually know, prosecute criminals. See? The fact that Soros backed these prosecutors is fascinating to me, in part because they're also universally bad for their respective cities. This refusal to prosecute crimes only leads to more criminal acts, and after all, if you can get away with it, why not? And where do they think this ends? How do they think this ends? You can't... I always go back to this because this had a... I don't even remember this sergeant's name. I wish I did. This sergeant was one of the best spoken NCOs I've ever had the pleasure of learning something from. I had two sergeants, E6s, that were my instructors in primary leadership development. And Ansbach or Katterbach was Germany. I can't remember which one it was. Maybe it was Katterbach. And both outstanding NCOs. Black. Didn't matter. Outstanding NCOs. And when they were trying to explain what leadership is to us, because what they're trying to do is they're trying to teach leadership. That's a very tough thing to do. When they were trying to teach it to us, they looked at us, one of them looked at us one time and said, being a leader with no followers is really messed up. And these cities where these prosecutors are running things right now, as far as the, you know, the law enforcement end of it, are becoming uninhabitable. So what does the left want to run? They want to run cities that are hollowed out and uninhabitable and look like some dystopian movie done by, you know, John Carpenter. And this is at the same time that when Soros-backed politicians are trying to make life untenable in the rural parts of the nation as well, with some proposed regulations on things like guns and increased costs for transportation. So they want everyone in cities, but they're also turning the cities into hellscapes. And you don't have to do that with Atlanta. They already have I-285 for that. But the question becomes whether this is intentional or incidental. And I'm inclined to say the latter, because mostly because I don't think Soros or anyone else is really competent enough to become that much of a supervillain. And that said, I can't dismiss the more conspiratorially minded folks who think this is the purpose rather than just a side effect. And regardless of why, the sad fact is these prosecutors are making cities worse. We'll be right back. This is Gun Owners News Hour.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick.
I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
It's been tough talking to my doctor about constipation with belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. I finally laid all my symptoms out there and how they keep coming back. She said I may have irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C. We agreed it's time to try something different.
Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives. It lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. There could be more to your story with IBS-C. Visit a doctor in person or online. Say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by Abbvie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
All right, one more time, shall we? This is Gun Owners News Hour. We have an interesting object lesson unfolding in front of us. I've talked about this a few times, and it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. And everybody wants to know, the question here is Australia turning authoritarian? Australia with no Bill of Rights, Australia with no Second Amendment. As COVID-19 cases in Australia increased over the past few months due to the Delta variant, we've been seeing images of mass protests alongside police and military crackdowns. The Australian military has been unleashed in Sydney to enforce draconian lockdowns and extreme restrictions on travel. So imagine, if you would, downtown Atlanta, if you like, being in, you know, with the 101st Airborne swarming the streets to enforce the crackdowns, enforce the quarantine. Knocking on your door. How many people are in here? Everybody needs to step out. We need to take a picture of you right now. We need a DNA sample. And then posting people in various parts of the blocks of the neighborhoods. That's what's happening in Australia right now. Although they have, in some cases, been unevenly and arbitrarily enforcing restrictions. John Fund at National Review laid out how absurd things have become down under. In Victoria, Premier Dan Andrews has promised to lock out the unvaccinated from the economy, while New South Wales has made the shot mandatory for public sector workers. But politicians are exempted, and bans on Australians traveling in and out of their country are routinely waived for athletes, billionaires, and celebrities. Of all the countries in the Western world, Australia and New Zealand are seeming to embrace COVID-19 lockdowns with the most zeal. And, of course, being island nations allows them to isolate more than most other countries. And for a little bit of time, this method seemed to pay off. Australia has a much lower infection and death rate from COVID-19 than the United States and many other countries. But the emergence of the Delta variant broke through the tight lockdown and a number of COVID-19 cases that exploded. And that's what sent Australia into an even deeper lockdown and provoked the protests and then the shocking government crackdown. Now, it's been pretty stupid bad here in the United States. But compared to Australia, some of their measures they're taking are hard to believe. When China locked business people in their homes at the beginning of the pandemic, it was business as usual. They get, you know, they have that kind of thing happen all the time in the People's Republic. But how can Australia, a country that seemed to have a lot of similarities to us, seem so authoritarian, so much like China? And the reality is that there are, you know, despite the similarities, there are some critical differences between Australia and the U.S. And it's important to note that not all of Australia is under extreme lockdown. Officials in Western Australia took a different course than Eastern Australia, where most of the protests and crackdowns have taken place. And in many ways, this is emblematic of the red state, blue state divide in America, where red states remained more open during the pandemic and blue states were more willing to embrace mandates and lockdowns. Western Australia locked down initially and sealed its borders. Now they're back open for business and recovering economically. But the question has to be asked, how long can that possibly hold out? Because, what might change that? The circumstances highlight why the U.S. hasn't seen quite the same level of extreme government action as is taking place in Australia and other countries. Australia does have a federal system, but it's become increasingly more centralized lately, like much of Europe. And even though federalism, as envisioned by the framers of the Constitution, increasingly has weakened in America over the past century, comparatively speaking, we're still somewhat robust on the state-based system. So most policies here are set at the state level, even if the national government increasingly cuts into state authority, which the states then fight back, like we're seeing right now. But many on the left decry America's federalist system, and the Biden administration has tried to undermine it, the national vaccine mandate being Exhibit A. And federalism produces its Californias and its Floridas. And it's unfortunate that states like New York, for instance, have kept public schools closed for an absurd length of time. Other states have reopened. So it should be no surprise that Florida's seen a surge of new residents move in, though no doubt more than a few have left because they prefer more aggressive lockdowns. Moving is hard, but it might be worth it if it means that your children finally can go back to school, can get back to normalcy. For many parents, the answer is yes. Australia's weaker system of federalism means that the whole country might not look like the government crackdowns in Sydney and Melbourne, but it won't stave off tyranny if current trends continue. And here we get to the second most important reason that Australia has become more authoritarian than the U.S. A famous policy split decades ago highlights the growing distinction. The Australian national gun control of the 1990s and implemented the widespread confiscation of firearms. And this happened as many Americans became less favorable to more gun control by our government. They chose to embrace government protection while sacrificing their liberty, a liberty that countless people here find fundamental and sacred. And it shouldn't be a surprise that mere decades later, they're even more willing to trade freedom for security, to trust the government to take care of everything. See, the firearms debate is sort of like a totem, if you will. It's not just about guns. It's about how citizens see their role in relation to their government. And more Australians, at least more of those in power, embrace a view of collective security in which rights are simply grants of privilege by state authorities. By contrast, we believe that our rights are God-given and inviolable, and except through the due process of law. Same views about government and the rights of the governed apply to both mass gun control and extreme COVID-19 lockdowns. In both, individual and communal power to make decisions is taken out of the hands of citizens and placed in the hands of government authorities and bureaucrats. So Australia, for those that are out there that would say, well, you know, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, that's all old and outdated. That's what Australia is. They never had it to begin with, so it was never old and outdated. And this should be serving as a warning to us. Because in times of extreme duress, citizens can and must sacrifice some amount of liberty, sometimes for liberty. But this contingency comes alongside the fundamental recognition that certain rights must be retained by the people and protected by the government. Evan Mulholland, Director of Communications at the Institute of Public Affairs in Australia, explained how liberty-loving Australians began changing. He said, Australia has this great reputation of individualism about pushing back against authority. But what we've seen is that a lot of people, particularly last year, less so now, actually liked being told what to do. Liked the lockdowns. Liked getting through them. But these things don't happen in a vacuum. As I said, they happen when the political and cultural elites very slowly pick away at different freedoms. Now, isn't that what's happening here? So, we shouldn't be relieved that things are not quite as bad as they are in Australia. We should be deeply concerned, because the same mentality exists among many Americans today, who would certainly not only take the Australian-style lockdown, but foist them on fellow citizens if they could. Americans fear tyranny and a healthy degree of federalism is what will end up saving everybody. Our rights are not privileges. Our rights are something you were born with. You will have them till the day you die. This is not something the government can take, regulate. It simply is. I will talk to you guys next week. Keep your eyes open. Stay awake. This has been Gun Owners News Hour. At Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard. At Chambers Custom, we have one job. We strive to build the most obsessively reliable, accurate, and beautiful pistols for the discriminating gun owner. Fusing the ageless 1911 design with a 21st century approach to each part and component, Chambers Custom meticulously begins each pistol as a standalone project, creating a bespoke, handcrafted, peerless firearm. They integrate all of the internal, external, and intrinsic elements that make a custom 1911 unique. Go to ChambersCustom.com. Chambers Custom, truly the mechanical advantage.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.